following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 31 for March 23rd, 2010. The not-so-improved, improved flavor. Hi there, everyone. We are getting started a day late this week. As I explained in a tweet, flu symptoms abound.
Yes, the joy that they are.
Rodney, as you can tell by his graveliness, has come down with a bout of fluness. And I am trying to fight off the fluness with more or less success. And we should explain our little headline there.
See, I was just going to tell him that I was drinking vodka all weekend, and that's why I had this gravel in my voice. But you ruined that.
I spoiled it, didn't I? Mm. I bought some Tylenol multi-symptom cold and flu cough syrup. And it was supposed to have improved flavor.
If it has improved flavor, I don't want to know what it used to be, because it's not very great. It's kind of a watered-down scope flavor.
Ooh.
And you take a big swig of that, and it's just sort of...
Actually, it doesn't have much of a taste. I mean, scope at least has this like little alcohol taste, and this has like a big alcohol, like medicine-y smell, but when you taste it, it's just like kind of flat. Definitely not improved flavor. I'd hate to taste the old one.
No, I'm not very thrilled with the new flavor. Not that I really know what the old flavor was. But
still,
anyway.
Let us begin.
We will quickly mention that Facebook has yet another email scam going around where users are being asked to change their passwords.
Yeah, it's going on, and my mother sent this to me last week and a bunch of other people. What ends up happening is the Facebook, a email will come to you that looks like it's from Facebook, and there's an attachment. It says, open this attachment and you will receive a new Facebook password. This is not from Facebook, folks. This is a malware attachment that will get on your computer and apparently get all of your passwords and usernames.
The biggest thing to remember here is that a website like Facebook or your bank or anyone like that, they're not going to send you something that you have to download and run on your computer in order to do password changes or exchange account information.
Exactly.
That's just not going to happen.
No.
So you kind of need to just be aware of that. Mm-hmm. In another malware type thing, Vodafone in Spain shipped out 3,000 memory cards for HTC Magic cell phones. These cell phones all contained malware that when once connected to a PC popped up and said, this contains a virus.
Whoops. So this was only in Spain?
It was only in Spain, luckily, and it was only 3,000 units, but they are in the process of exchanging those and trying to put some sort of quality control assurance in between sending out this equipment.
Lordy mercy. And malware everywhere.
Yes.
Speaking of
exactly
mobile devices.
Well, I will throw in one other little quick thing. Firefox has announced that they will no longer update Firefox 3.0 past March 30th. So the last update will be 3.0.19. So you should jump out and upgrade to 3.6.
Exactly. So they're going to stop supporting that as of what, March 30th?
March 30th will be the last pushed out upgrade.
Continuing our regularly scheduled programming with another story about mobile devices. Microsoft is coming out with a new platform, Windows Phone 7.
Series.
Oh, Windows Phone Series 7.
Windows Phone 7 Series.
Oh, God. Windows Phone 7 Series. Okay, fine, whatever.
Windows Phone Series Vista 7 Series. I don't know.
Anyway. Windows Phone 7 Thanks. Series. And apparently, I'm picking up here, apparently, this version will not have a copy and paste feature. Now, how stupid is that?
Now, the iPhone came out without cut and paste, and it was a big travesty. There were riots in the streets.
Exactly.
Babies were taken hostage and all of this.
They got it back, didn't they? I mean, it's back in the iPhone now, copy and paste.
Well, yeah, it took, I believe it was 3 iterations of the iPhone before they actually implemented cut and
Babies
paste.
Babies were taken hostage? Dear me.
It was a big deal to people that were using the freaking iPhone.
Yeah, I get that. But what makes Microsoft think that it can get away with this? I mean, if this was such a big deal when the iPhone came out, why in the world would Microsoft be doing this? I mean, they claim that, oh, well, people don't really need that in the article I've read. And I'm sitting here thinking, really? I use it all the time on my computer.
Well, apparently.
And if I had used mobile phone for documents, I know I'd use it all the time for documents, too.
Well, it seems that Microsoft is trying to get Windows 7 phone series, whatever the crazy thing is. They're trying to get it out the door so that they can actually get into the race with Apple and Android because of Android's success in taking away some of the market from Apple. So they are trying to push it out. They say that cut and paste will probably come in an update to the system later, but in the models that you would be purchasing this fall, they will not have that particular update.
Okie dokie.
So I believe there's a few things like the cut and paste that they're not including in the initial run. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of new Microsoft products, they are coming out with an Internet Explorer 9. Seems like they just came out with 8. But they're coming out with new Internet Explorer 9, and they have put it in beta testing very, very early. It's not coming out for a good long while yet, but they just started beta testing it, and they're going to do it in multiple steps to get as much user feedback as possible. It's so stripped down right now that it doesn't even have a back button, and apparently it is not designed to come out without a back button. It's just that it just hasn't been put together but a few things in it, and it has no back button.
Yeah, it's supposed to have a better architecture for handling JavaScript that you run into on web pages, which Chrome and Firefox and Safari, I believe, handle a lot better than Internet Explorer right now.
And it's also supposed to have better HTML5 support and support for more video codecs than it currently does. And I believe, yeah, better Java support and support and better graphical support also.
Yeah, and the new CSS3 cascading style sheet standard. So that should be coming out at some point in a public beta. It's not really known at this point whether it will be a large beta or just
a select
right. few people doing right. the testing.
So we'll keep on a lookout for that. It's supposed to be faster too, I believe.
Yes.
It's supposed to be speeded up.
And that's part of the JavaScript enhancement, because it's still working off of the same architecture that was started with Internet Explorer 3, 4, 5, and so on. And that's why everybody goes to Firefox or Chrome and says, whoa, this is a lot faster.
Right.
But speaking of faster, in the Austin, Texas event, South by Southwest, Dig.com announced that they are going to have a much faster way to dig stories.
Yeah, apparently when you... I wish I didn't say that so much, apparently. When you had to dig a story in previous versions of Dig, you would go to a web page, it would have a Dig This button, and if you press the button, it would come up with the login screen for Dig, and you had to log in and post the story. But now you don't have to do that. It does not require you to log in and just post the story on Dig automatically when you click that button. Also, it will allow users of Dig to tailor their pages more closely to fit their interests. But the biggest point on that is that you do not have to log in to post a story to Dig. And they're claiming that now only about 20,000 stories are being posted to Dig per day, but that with this new feature, the login disabled or not required anymore, they will have millions of stories dug per day. Now, I doubt that that'll happen, but maybe they'll get more. I don't know.
Could be. It might,
I don't use it. I mean,
well, it might make people add it to their blogs more.
Right. It might do that.
But yeah, that was announced at the Dignation event at South by Southwest, where Leah Laporte did the live streaming of crowd surfing.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of hilarious when I watched that episode of Dignation. He's carrying his, he had basically a backpack on that weighed about 20 pounds. It has six wireless cards. And then he's carrying a staff that has a camera mounted on it with a light. And
a staff?
Yeah, it's like a staff, you know, sort of the parting of the sea type thing. So when they show him on camera, it's like all you see is this bright light shining at you because he's got like a miniature LED light panel sitting there. Mm-hmm. And he actually crowd surfed carrying that, and it was all live and uninterrupted.
Oh, funny.
So they awarded him a award for being the first person,
the craziest to dude there,
the first person to do a live crowd surf and stream it over the internet.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, now that we've digressed into Lord knows what.
We're going to go from Dig to some Google news about Google.
Google is planning to shut down their Google.cn in China come April.
Yeah, they made it very clear that this only applies to Google.cn, which only applies to the search engine that operates in China. It does not apply to their other business ventures over there, like their advertising and other things they've got going. But as we have talked about previously, Google has been at loggerheads with the Chinese government recently because Google is very upset about the things that the Chinese government has them censor in their search results. So Google has been threatening, because they've gotten fed up with this censorship requirement, they've been threatening to let people search for things like the Tibetan independence movement or the marches in Tiananmen Square, things that the Chinese government has them filter out. And they're just upset with having to do that.
Plus China kind of crossed the line a little bit by doing that Google hacking.
Yes, exactly. That was also a part of their decision when Google, as well as other companies, but Google in particular in this case, was hacked into from China by people that they assume to be part of the Chinese government or somehow associated with it, although China, of course, is denying this. So those two things together inspired Google to decide to pull out their Google.cn so that Chinese people cannot no longer use Google as a search engine as of April.
Yeah, but Google will leave their corporate offices in China so that they do not have a real difficult path in order to get back into China.
Right.
It was stipulated that they might actually pull out their corporate offices, which would mean they probably would never go back into China whatsoever. Yeah. So they didn't go that far.
Yeah. And that was something that was unclear until just today, whether they were going to pull out their corporate offices or whether they were going to keep them. And apparently they're going to be able to keep them there, which is good. So that if they ever want to come back, they ever want to get the search engine back in China, it may be easier for them to do that in the future.
And Google has also admitted that, yes, they did screw up the implementation of Google Buzz into Gmail.
Yes, and they said, and I quote, "We are sorry that we rolled out Google Buzz so, quote unquote, promiscuously." I guess they mean that to say, in such a hurry. Because what they did, as we all know, is when you signed up for Google Buzz, they sort of sifted through your email addresses to see who else in your contacts might have signed up for it or might like to sign up for it.
Yeah,
they would send people emails.
Yeah, and they displayed it on your Google profile and who you contacted most and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've made adjustments in this, but it was a very big privacy concern, especially when Gmail is kind of, I mean, when you're using it, it feels like it's a closed environment.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden they open the door to it.
So they kind of apologized for their mistakes. I don't know what they're planning to do. I mean, I know they've already fixed this problem for the people that it happened to, but I know that it kind of creates a, I don't know if I really want to sign up for this. You know, it kind of creates a concern, sort of like Facebook is doing with its privacy structure. It's creating concerns for people who may not want to sign up for this after this happened.
Well, it's definitely going to give them incentive to do a public beta before they actually release it. It was tested, but it was tested by engineers at Google. So, I mean, I work with programmers. I am a programmer. It's difficult to think like the customer when you're so engrossed in something. You can easily overlook little simple things that a user might go, well, why is this there? Or why are you displaying that information?
It just seems weird that they only tested it with engineers. I know we talked about that before, but it just, that's why it surprised me that they didn't go into public beta with this. I mean, they, how long was Gmail in beta? Public beta?
I believe it was like 5 years.
I mean, it just got out of public beta in July.
Well, and there's actually a Google Labs function that you can actually put the beta word back on your Gmail.
Oh, wow.
Because some people just aren't that attached to the word beta.
Well, I mean, they've released everything else in public beta, so why not this?
Well, they released it in public beta. They just released it to everybody. But it kind of created a little turmoil. But on another front, they are having a little turmoil of their own with
Apple. Apple. The Google Apple spat is becoming personal. It's becoming all-out warfare, especially with the release of Android. Apple CEOs and such feel that Google is trespassing on their territory when they have released their Android phones, which are a lot like the iPhone. The difference between the two is that Apple's very locked-down software platform and the Android platform is very open source. So there are two different worldviews here going on with these phones between these two companies. Also, Apple is kind of upset that the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, used to be with Apple back when they were developing the iPhone. So Apple's higher-ups feel that he kind of appropriated a lot of the iPhone stuff when Google started developing the Android.
Well, they're complaining about the look and feel of the phones. That's why they're going after HTC, which has been making phones for many years.
Right.
And HTC is saying that, well, in actuality, the iPhone has taken some of the things that HTC had developed. So it's kind of a finger-pointing thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know how you can really lock it down to, okay, the form factor is a touch screen.
Right.
How many different variations of a touch screen can you have?
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, they're going to look similar and sort of act similar because they're a touch screen.
That's just, I mean, Apple has gotten used to having the whole iPhone. Everyone has an iPhone. And now the Android is, or platform, and these new phones are getting that market share and they're not happy about it. That's all it is.
Now, speaking of lockdown, Apple is trying to turn their iPad developers into what I call masons.
Exactly. Computers, software developers, developers of packages often have third-party people come in and develop applications for the package. And this is what, of course, Apple is doing for its iPad. Well, the developers have to be sworn to secrecy. Because the whole deal is no one knows really what an iPad is like. But people who are developing for it, they have to be in a blacked-out room. The iPad has to be locked onto a table. They can't take it with them. They have to come to it in order to work on developing things for it.
And they have to actually send pictures verifying that their environment is set up for this before they actually can receive their preliminary iPad.
Yeah, they have to send Apple photos to tell them that it's set up to develop it. Now, a lot of companies are justifiably irritated by this. They are, such as Evernote, they are not on the privileged developers list, I suppose, and they're trying to develop applications for the iPad. There's a simulator program that Apple claims will make your interface, you know, your on-screen interface look like an iPad, but it's, what was it, several thousand dollars? A lot of people have been trying to create cardboard mock-ups of iPads so that they know how the screen will feel and the any keys will feel when they're trying to develop their applications, but not a lot of it's working because, like we say, no one really 100% knows how the iPad's going to be.
Yeah. And just so people aren't confused, the reason I say it's the Masons is we have social groups that are called Masons, and they meet in buildings. Secret, they're a secret society that meet in buildings that have no windows. They're usually brick structures with a door and nothing else.
Right.
And that's kind of what you have to do in order to be an iPad developer. You have to build a bunker.
Exactly. Jeez, ridiculous.
We're going back to the days of, what were they, bomb shelters back in the
40s and 50s and 60s, yeah. Underground bomb shelters.
I think there was a Happy Days episode with that.
I think they called them air raid shelters, but whatever.
Yeah, might have been.
The same kind of thing.
Might have been.
Moving into more legalish type news. A couple of lawsuits on the horizon. Classmates.com.
Classmates.com has been sued for fraudulently getting people to sign up for their premium gold service.
They had two services, or have, I guess, one of which is free and another which is a premium gold service. And with this gold service, you can do a lot of things, look at a guest book, see who's looking for you, a bunch of other stuff. Well, anyway, people were getting emails. It was a certain time period, a couple of years, and people were getting emails that said something like, sign up for our gold account. Some of your classmates may be looking for you. And they interpreted this to mean that the classmates were looking for them, so they paid the $9.95 to sign up for this gold account. And it turns out, none of their classmates were looking for them.
Yeah, I used to have a classmates.com account, and I remember getting those kind of things, but I was just kind of like, who cares?
Yeah.
Not really a big deal.
Yeah.
So what? I'm not paying for it.
But some folks did, and now they have been awarded $9.5 million that Classmates has to pay these people.
Yeah.
Just so we're all aware of the numbers here, that amounts to $3 per person.
Yeah.
So, because at the time that this happened, there were 3 million subscribers who could have potentially been affected by this. And that's how much they'd get back. Really not a lot.
Yeah, and as we've said before, it's kind of questionable as to what the appeal of Classmates.com is with Facebook.
Yeah, and there were some other money amounts, dollar amounts going on in the article I read. People were getting back $2, some people were getting back $3, but on the average, people would get back $3 a piece. And now, of course, Classmates.com is claiming that Facebook has not made a dent in its business, but there's a lot of question about that.
Well, I mean, if they only had 3 million users, maybe those 3 million users are still a part of their website.
Right.
Facebook most likely is cornering the market, and they're not growing any.
Exactly.
So,
because apparently one of their chief executive officers or presidents or somebody just resigned recently. And, you know, obviously they're going through a hard time. And, you know, who knows how long they'll stay around.
Exactly. And eBay, who we don't usually talk of that much, has a lawsuit against them by a deaf user.
A woman in Missouri who's deaf does not have a phone and she wants to sell stuff on eBay. Well, I guess what's going on with eBay, if you're a seller, is you have to enter in the computer a bunch of information. And then to confirm your identity, you have to call and enter in a PIN number or some kind of numbers that they send you over email. I'm not sure how it works, but it requires a telephone, a landline, and entering in PIN numbers.
Yeah, they're probably trying to have you link it to a telephone number. I believe if you create a Gmail account now, it'll actually ask you to enter in a number via your cell phone.
Well, the problem is this woman doesn't have a phone, telephone. She is deaf and can't use a phone to do this, has tried to contact eBay and work with them on negotiating some kind of alternative plan, and they have not been very responsive. So she's taken them to court in Missouri, suing them for violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. Apparently, this is a suit that's just been started, so there's really not a whole lot of court activity to talk about, but just letting you know that it does exist, and we'll keep monitoring it to see what comes out of it.
Be interesting to see if this has a better outcome than the Sony PlayStation gamer that tried to sue Sony for not making their community accessible.
Yeah.
But in other accessibility news, the EU is looking at downplaying their accessibility requirements for companies.
The European Union had a piece of legislation that they were thinking about having it go into effect that basically mandated that all manufactured consumer goods, this includes everything from like television sets to dishwashers, everything you could think of, basically, had to be accessible out of the box. No touchscreen, no anything. Now, most of the countries involved just don't want to go along with this, and they've downplayed it to say something like, all countries will, who are part of this legislation will, you know, do their utmost to research product accessibility and promote product accessibility, but there is no longer a requirement that all products manufactured have to be 100% accessible. I didn't think that'd last. So just a heads up on that.
Well, it was a good attempt at doing something like that.
Sure, but I doubted it would go through. It was a good attempt, but probably a case of too much too soon.
Well, and requires a lot of infrastructure changes.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Not sure whether it was like supposed to take care of things that were previously developed or...
I don't know. The way it sounded like it was supposed to take care of things previously developed as well as new technology. So it would require a lot of product structure changes and probably a lot of research on things that had been developed and the companies just couldn't afford to do that. And it would take a lot of time. So anyway, moving along, we had South by Southwest last week. And now this week, there is the 25th International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference. I think I got that name all right. It is traditionally called CSUN, which is sort of misleading because CSUN stands for California Southern University at Northridge. I think...
Or is it Cal State at Northridge?
One of those.
Yeah, something like that.
They sponsor the conference every year, and I guess that's why it got its name, but it's really a technology conference for persons with disabilities. That's been going on for a long time. And basically, this is different from ATIA in several key ways. What goes on here is there are some new products that are going to be unveiled and shown here. But the emphasis in this conference is not so much on the products, but on various aspects of assistive technology and computer accessibility. So there are a lot of conferences going on and workshops. Everything from GPS technology to Adobe Acrobat use to accessible internet applications to web development, etc. So one of the things that actually it was unveiled before CSUN was the GW Micro has launched the WindowEyes 7.2 beta. This fixes some problems that WindowEyes was having with Eloquence and upgrades some other performance problems that it was having and makes, I think, the performance of the screen reader overall faster and better. I don't use WindowEyes, so I can't speak to the efficacy of the beta, but apparently, from what I've been hearing on Twitter, people are finding it very useful. Another thing that is being talked about at CSUN is there are two screen reader devices kind of being talked about and shown. One of them is Speakit for the iPhone is having a major upgrade, and that is not, I don't think it's the built-in screen reader for the iPhone. It's an enhanced, updated version developed by Future Applications that you can purchase for $2 from the iTunes store. And it's gotten a major overhaul, more efficient internet browsing, multiple voices that you can download for it, and overall speed enhancements too. Another screen reader that has come out for the Android phone, and it is called Spiel, S-P-I-E-L. Open source, of course, sort of like NVDA for Windows. And it is, I guess, an enhanced version of the Android screen reader. Not a lot of information about it, but it does help with the Android accessibility.
And we don't have either phone, so
no,
we don't really
we can't
know
really
what
attest.
We are talking about Pixel,
no.
Other than
we just
there's
read
two
stuff.
Options out there.
Exactly.
And you can find those in the Android and Apple iTunes
store.
Application store. Yeah. That thing.
Some more things that are going to be unveiled at CSUN this week.
A Daisy player
yes,
for Apple.
Yes, a Daisy player for the Macintosh. Macintosh has very few Daisy players to choose from, and this is one called Oleria. Olearia, O-L-E-A-R-I-A. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
That's correct.
It is able to play Talking Books, Daisy Books, and limited navigation for Bookshare Books, which is another kind of Daisy format. It is not a hardware device. It's, you know, for the Macintosh computer, so of course you have to have a Mac in order to use it. But it's supposedly very good and stable. I can't speak to it, but it's out there if you want to check on it. Some other products developed by HIMS, I believe they're part of GW Micro, or GW Micro sells their products or something. Basically, it's their Sense line. The Sense View is a magnifier that they are coming out with to help with computer magnification. It is a flat screen magnifier. It's actually out, but they're updating their model. The BookSense is coming out with a completely new model. It's actually going to have a screen on it instead of just being like a digital book player. It's going to have a screen for text viewing. Blind Bargains is advertising all these and has stated that this was last week's advertisements. We haven't been to CSUN yet, so we don't know what they're going to be like. But the exhibit hall opens tomorrow on Wednesday, so people can go check these out. And they can also check out the VoiceSense, which is the note taker in that line. It is going to come with a built-in compass, as well as some other GPS navigational devices built into it already. So that can also be viewed at the exhibit hall. And the last thing...
I'm getting a little sensory overload by all these scents.
No more scents. This last thing concerns the Olympus Digital DM4 and DM5. We talked previously about the fact that they were going to have some text-to-speech capabilities, some voice recognition capabilities, but weren't really sure what those were going to be. Well, if you want to know what they are, guess where you'll have to be? CSUN, because that's where they're going to talk about them. Apparently, you'll be able to... It will respond to some limited voice commands and have better navigation control than with previous Olympus players. Text-to-speech feedback.
And you have the DS50, which has some...
It has some. You can set things, but you can't really do file folder navigation very easily. You can't read back file names. You can't really delete files that well because you're not really sure what you're deleting. So this has, I think, better functionality. It does. You can do more things easier. You know, setting the time and date, for instance, is something that really can't be done with the DS50. But with these DM4 and DM5 models, they are, I guess, I mean, from the way it sounds, going to be fully accessible with voice commands.
And it's a mainstream company making mainstream products, but with accessibility.
With accessibility.
Go figure.
Woohoo! Or, as I learned today, with A11Y. A11Y is an abbreviation for accessibility. It is the 11 stands for the number of letters between the A and the Y that are missing. And I point this out because if you want to follow the CSUN conference on Twitter, you can do it in one of two ways. Number CSUN10 for a hashtag, or follow A11YCONF. Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I saw that and I was like, what in the world? Huh? So I went and looked on Wikipedia, and that's what Wikipedia said A11Y stood for. The same principle applies to A18N, which is for I-18N, which is for internationalization. So apparently this isn't the first abbreviation to do that.
Obviously not. It was a new one on me, but maybe it's new kid lingo.
Maybe.
Bypassed
Speaking
us.
Of kids.
What were you thinking?
A 16-year-old girl from Chicago is going to have surgery on her wrists. She is already having braces put on her wrists and taking pain injections for carpal tunnel syndrome. She got this because she has been sending 100 or more text messages a day for an extended period of time.
That is a lot of texting.
I mean, what can you possibly... And she acknowledged, she said a lot of her text messages are things like, hey, what's up? Oh, where are you at? You know, not really anything with any kind of content to it, just texting to be texting, I guess. since she's got these braces on and is taking the pain injection and is going to have surgery at some point soon, she has tried to reduce her texting. She's gotten it down to 50 per day, but she says that's even hard for her to do. So they should have like rehabilitation for text addicts. Texting addicts?
Well, I mean, they have competitions for texters, you
that's
know,
pathetic.
As far as how many letters you can type in a minute and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, they're encouraging this type of thing, but I mean, kids are in a developmental stage, and here they are using a device where they're constantly typing like
right.
that over and over
they
again.
They have arthritis in their wrists like they're 80 years old.
I mean,
because of such heavy use on their wrist tendons and muscles and stuff.
I mean, Steve Wozniak, who created the Apple Macintosh computer line mm-hmm. way back in like the mid-70s, he can't type but just very little because of his hands being so badly marred by carpal tunnel.
Wow.
To the point that he's said, I've never used Twitter or things like that mm-hmm. because I can't really use a keyboard that well.
Right. Maybe that's something that like devices like the iPad will help with.
Maybe. Something bigger to type on mm-hmm. or something. But
yeah, because this girl is saying, well, she's just going to get an iPhone because that has a touchscreen and then she can text all she wants.
I mean, I have issues with carpal tunnel, and I know I do, but I figure a lot of it is probably because I started typing when I was in like the 7th grade mm-hmm. or 6th grade, somewhere in there, you know, around 12 or 13 yeah. years old.
So. I have it sometimes too, and I started typing when I was 9. So, I mean, it all kind of catches up with you over the years, but, you know, if you're 16 and already having such severe problems, something's got to be done because you've got most of your life ahead of you. And if you don't do something about it or try and reduce what you're doing that isn't necessary,
sounds
you
like
might have a real problem.
It sounds like somebody needs to give her a Nexus One so that she can speech text.
Exactly.
Because I've heard that being a very outstanding application on the
Nexus
Android
One.
Phones.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you can Twitter and things like that just by speech.
Mm-hmm.
You might look like a freak doing it, but hey, you're not going to end up with carpal tunnel.
Exactly.
And speaking of catching up to you,
yes.
In the U.S., the government has passed the health care bill,
mm-hmm.
and they were having a large announcement today with the president, vice president, Obama, and Biden, and on the news right now, it is a mad story over what Joe Biden said. And I figured we would, since we're recording this on the day of, we'll just go ahead and play this.
Mm-hmm.
It's crude.
You got to listen for it.
You got to listen for it a little bit, but you can find it
but
on
you
YouTube.
You will hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama. Thank you, everybody.
He's just a class act, man. I tell you what, that is classy. Mm-mm-mm.
But if you didn't quite make it out, that's F6G.
Exactly.
Big deal.
A big F6G deal.
Yeah.
I think you're going to figure that out.
We'll use our new found numbering system.
Exactly.
But Joe Biden is known for his faux pas, and yet again, he's done it.
Wait a minute. It's F5G.
Is it 5?
Yes. F5G deal.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. He is known for his faux pas, and he has done it again.
Oh, well. I'm on cold medicine. I don't claim to be a speller.
That's okay. You're not a speller, even when you're off cold medicine.
That's true. I know. I failed English in school. That's fine.
No, you didn't really fail English, but granted. I'm the one who catches spelling mistakes on blogs and moans and groans about them. So I'm pretty much a spelling fanatic. If you know me well, you know that about me. So pretty much everyone but me and a few others is a bad speller. Yeah, well, Biden's known for his faux pas, and he did it again.
Yeah, and Will Wheaton posted on Twitter that mm-hmm. he was very upset that Joe Biden was taking all this time away from important things, like what in the world is Tiger Woods doing at this very moment?
Mm-hmm. In case anyone doesn't know who Will Wheaton is, he played Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation.
And he is a blogger and
I think he's trying to write a book.
Yeah, he's writing a book or something like that.
So now he does other stuff.
And he makes cameos on such shows like
The Big Bang Theory. Yes, he was He played against Sheldon in a comic book, a fantasy tournament.
Very good episode.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we will sign off for now. Like we say every time, you can follow us on Twitter at @TA_weekly.
Or you can view the articles considered for this episode by going to delicious.com/techaccess/31.
Yes, indeed. We will see you next time, and we'll sign off for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.